Pseudopod number 3, September 8th, 2006. Today's story, Little Boy Leg Bone by Rich Warren. Good evening, and welcome to Pseudopod, the bi-weekly horror podcast magazine. I am your host, Mer Lafferty, co-editor of Pseudopod, along with Ben Phillips. We strive to bring you the best in horror audio. Like our sister podcast, Escape Pod, we are a paying market, supported by the donations of our listeners. If you'd like to comment on the show, you can email us at feedback@pseudopod.org or in the comments at our website. Our story this week is Little Boy Leg Bone by Richard Warren. Mr. Warren has several credits as a freelance writer, contributing to many RPG books by FASA and Daedalus Games. He has also contributed to several magazines, including White Wolf Magazine, Infobia, Inquest, and Shadus. The story is read for us by J.C. Hutchins, author of the popular patio book Seventh Son, Descent. So tuck the covers tight around your chin, because I've got a story for you, and I promise you, it's true.
Little Boy Leg Bone by Rich Warren. Jack wrapped the sheets around him, pulling the heavy comforter up to his ear. Those were the rules. They couldn't touch him if his neck remained covered. They could only watch. And Muradin watched, perched on the dresser. Jack saw him through the corner of his eye. A tall man, tall like Daddy, but his legs and arms weren't right. Long and thin, they reminded Jack of spiders. Muradin held a flute to his lips. White. Bone white. A leg bone. Jack knew that. Little boy leg bone. The soft music sounded like wind through dry leaves and the distant cry of dogs. It made Jack's shins ache. Jack squeezed his eyes shut. He tried to lie still, to quiet his breath. Muradin might leave if he thought Jack fell asleep, but tonight the music didn't stop. It changed, turning into the sound of dripping water. Soon, Jack needed to go. He tried to ignore it, rolled onto his back, carefully keeping the blankets around his neck, but the dripping grew louder. His bladder started to ache. Muradin waited, wanting him to leave the safe place. The music whispered, "Little boy, leg bone." Jack shuddered. Daddy hated it when he wet the bed, would spank him for sure. There was only one real choice. Squeezing his eyes shut, he slid his feet to the ground. The music stopped. Jack could hear Muradin stir on the dresser. Then nothing. He froze, waiting for the sharp, cold fingers to rake across his back. Still nothing. Muradin couldn't touch him if he kept his eyes closed. Jack stepped forward, aiming toward the door, but his foot cracked against something hard and heavy. Biting down on his lip, he refused to cry. Could Muradin find him if he cried? Jack didn't know. Slowly, carefully, he took another step. Something wet and cold and soft squished between his toes. Play-Doh, he hoped, but who knew what Muradin might throw in his way? Jack swallowed, shuddered again, and wiped his foot on the carpet. Shuffling, he edged to the wall. Fingers brushed against its cool surface. He picked around Muradin's traps. A sharp metal edge scraped against his thigh, floorboards creaked behind him, and spiders tickled down his cheek. Finally, his toes touched cold linoleum, but the bathroom was not a safe place. Eyes still closed, Jack groped toward the toilet. One hand on the rim, he dropped his pajama bottoms and edged in close. He could hear the sharp tinkling of pee against porcelain, could feel the splash of warm drops against his leg, but he just squeezed his eyes tighter. Flushing, he turned, then smacked headlong into the closed door. A yelp escaped from his clenched jaw, a small, tight cry. He grasped for the doorknob, but it wouldn't turn. Ice-like fingernails brushed against his back. Tears ran down his cheeks. He shook the knob, rattling the door, but it refused to open. "Jack?" a voice sounded from the other side. "Honey, are you all right?" "Mommy!" Jack's fingers slipped off the knob as iron-like hands dragged him back. The gobs skittered from the shadows, swarming over his skin, pinching and twisting it with their tiny needle-sharp fingers. Dark whispers played through his ear, promising pain and fear and death. He tried to scream, but angry gobs filled his mouth. They stabbed and danced at the back of his throat. Jack gagged, unable to breathe. "Don't worry, honey." The door shook. "Damn, Harry, it's stuck again." Jack pulled against the hands, but his feet slipped from under him. He landed hard against the linoleum. "Stand back," his father said. The gobs pinched shut Jack's eyes, plugged his nose. He heard nothing but their tinny screams, their high-pitched war cries. His body shook. He no longer controlled it. He couldn't warn his parents away. Then the door burst open. Lights came on, and they vanished. The bathroom was just a bathroom again. Jack gasped, fresh air filling his lungs.
"Jesus, kid, what the hell were you doing in the dark?"
"I couldn't get out." Jack wiped his tears with his pajama sleeve. "Was it the dreams again?" Mom asked, kneeling down and running her fingers through his hair. That's what adults called them. The dreams. Jack nodded. He no longer tried to explain.
"Damn it, Carol."
Dad always got angry when they visited.
"That's the third time this week. I thought that shrink said things were getting better."
"Shh." She wiped a tear from Jack's cheek. "We've got another appointment tomorrow. I'll talk to Dr. Jamison then." She led Jack back into his room, tucked the covers around him like a shield, then kissed him on the forehead. Muradin was gone. He always left when Mom and Dad arrived. But Jack could still hear Little Boy Legbone's music playing outside. The Grungies showed up halfway to school. Jack was glad to see them. They kept their distance, but he knew they were there. He caught slight glimpses of them through the corner of his eye, heard them as they skittered about. Their new fall clothes crunched while they walked, dried leaves wrapped around their twig-like frames. Jack used to laugh at their clothes. Once he stole pants and a vest from his neighbor's Ken doll. It was spring, and the Grungies ran about, their gnarled, crazy legs sticking from short grass skirts. But they weren't interested in the doll clothes. Rather, they were interested. They hung them as banners. They made a fortress of pine needles and decorated the battlements. Of course, no one built anything for Jack lately. They just kept to their distance. Since school. Since Mom and Dad took him to the doctor. The Grungies, the Trollkin, even Old Oaks, none of them played anymore. Only Muradin and his gobs still came. Maybe they want to play now, Jack thought as he watched them caper behind him. He often met them at the bottom of trees. They built cabins, baskets, and butterfly wings from the leaves and sticks and grass. Jack wanted to turn around to greet them with the secret words. Maybe they could go visit Old Oaks. It had been too long since Jack visited. But he bit his lip and kept walking. They would just disappear. They always disappeared, and chasing them only made him late. Miss Adams yelled if he was late. She yelled whenever he told her about the Grungies or Trollkin or Old Oaks. Jack sighed, trudging toward school. The Grungies followed to the edge of the playground, scurrying into the bushes that grew along the fence. Jack stood there, staring at the squat brick building. He was early, too early. At first, school was a safe place, and the playground felt wild and alive. They all came here, Grungies, Trollkin, gobs, everyone except Old Oaks. Old Oaks didn't come to anyone. He invited you. Now, however, the yard seemed dead, lifeless. Sure, the playground had its noise and energy. The other children still rushed about playing their games. But they avoided it, just like they avoided Jack. All except the gobs. Mark and Tom stood at the corner of the swings, smiling like hungry dogs. They were older, third graders, and Jack could see hundreds of tiny gobs hanging on them, pulling their hair, pinching their arms. It's what made them so mean.
"Look who's here."
Mark poked Tom in the shoulder, and the two of them slinked in close.
"Jackrabbit, Jackrabbit, you gonna run away, little Jackrabbit?"
Jack's knees began to quiver. He tried to stand straight, just like the doctor said. He tried to act brave, but he didn't feel brave.
"Go,"
his voice broke.
Go away.
Mark's smile broadened.
What's the matter, Jackrabbit? You scared?
Tom poked him hard in the shoulder. Jack could hear the bushes rustle beside him, but the Grunchies wouldn't help. Not now. Not today. He had to do this by himself. That's what the doctor said. He could hear the doctor's words. When you feel scared, go to a teacher. But all the teachers were in the doorway on the other side of the playground.
My dad shoots jackrabbits.
Mark rubbed his palms together.
He cooks them up on the grill. Maybe we should shoot this one.
Tom poked Jack again.
Maybe. You'd like jackrabbit, Tom, especially the legs.
Jack began to shake all over. He wanted to shout. The teachers might hear him if he shouted, but he couldn't catch his breath. He could feel warm tears on his cheeks.
Aw, is Jackrabbit gonna cry?
Jack closed his eyes. He tried to hold back the tears, tried to hold it all in, but he couldn't stop shaking. The warm wetness spread through his corduroys, running down his legs.
What's going on over here?
Mr. Gerber's voice.
Not now, Jack thought. Please, not now.
Mark and Tom just laughed.
Jackrabbit peed his pants! Jackrabbit peed his pants! Jackrabbit peed his pants!
You two be quiet! Go over by the jungle gym!
They stopped shouting, but Jack could hear their laughter. It sounded like the entire playground was laughing, even the bushes.
Jack, you know better. You should have come inside if you had to go.
I couldn't,
Jack said between sobs. Mr. Gerber sighed.
All right. Come on. Let's call your parents and have them bring you some dry clothes.
Jack sat in the large, soft chair, his feet dangling off the floor. The doctor talked about adult things. Jack tried to listen, tried hard. Most of the words made sense, but they didn't seem to fit together.
And his control problems seemed related to these fears. Minor bladder control issues aren't unusual among children his age. Still, his are exclusively triggered by anxiety and stress.
Jack stared out the window. They were talking about the playground. He knew that. Dad had come to bring him dry pants. Jack wanted them to send Mom. Dad always got so angry, always asked the teachers so many questions. Fortunately, Mom picked him up after school. Mom listened to the doctor. Mom didn't yell. He kicked his legs through the empty air, looking out at the cars and people moving about the street. It was a warm day, sunny, and everyone seemed so happy. Then Mom's hand fell upon his knee. Jack, don't wiggle. She scooched him back until his feet stuck straight out in front of him.
It's not unusual for children to create imaginary friends, the doctor continued. Jack, however, has created imaginary enemies. He is a very intelligent, very creative young boy. His anxieties and fears manifest as these creatures.
Jack sighed and closed his eyes. Music, like wind through dry leaves, drifted up from the street. When he looked again, he could see a tall figure all in black, the black porcupine-like hair, the black-on-black eyes, the slight, sharp smile. Muradin raised the bone-white flute to his lips and played a low trill, the sad howl of distant dogs. He never visited during the day before.
Mommy?
Jack tugged at her sleeve.
Yes, dear?
I've got to go.
Now?
She looked up at the doctor, who just smiled.
Jack, there's a bathroom right there.
The doctor stood, opening a door. The room inside was the size of a closet with a toilet and a very tall sink, all white and shiny and smelling like cleaners.
Do you need any help?
No, I'm okay.
Jack slid off the chair and pulled the door shut behind him. He slipped one strap of the overalls off his shoulder, then fumbled to unfasten the second. Outside, the music grew louder, grew closer, until Jack heard Muradin's boots click against the tile floor. He didn't dare turn around, even when the music stopped.
They're poisoning you, Jack.
Muradin's voice sounded like ice.
No,
Jack shook his head.
Not Mom.
Oh, yes. Mom. The doctor. Dad.
Jack grabbed onto the toilet, steadying himself. His voice came small and weak.
No.
Why do you think the Grunchies run away from you? They can taste the poison.
No.
When was the last time you saw Old Oaks?
No!
Jack turned, his hands balled into fists. Anger burned inside him. He didn't care anymore. He wanted to punch and claw and die. The room was empty. Flushing, then standing on tiptoe to wash his hands, Jack opened the door and rushed back out into the office.
Now that's a good boy.
Mom lifted him by the armpits, sweeping him up into the large, soft chair.
When we're done here, I'll take us out for cheeseburgers and milkshakes. How would you like that?
Jack nodded.
If you're interested, the doctor continued, there are some medications we could try.
The pill was small and blue. Jack had to take two a day, one in the morning and one before bed. He hated the pill. It tasted like metal. It made his stomach sour and his teeth buzz, but it kept the gobs away, kept them all away. Jack took the pill from Mom and swallowed it with a half glass of juice. Then, grabbing his coat and lunchbox, he started off to school. It was cold, and white frost covered everything. Grass, sidewalk, trees, they sparkled like a world covered in spiderwebs. Jack sighed, his breath billowing out into a white cloud before him, dragon's breath. He remembered watching the dragons fly over Birkmont Hill. Him, the Trollkin, and Grunchies. They told him when he was older he could visit the dragon's home, but now they were gone. Not even their distant crunching kept him company. Mark and Tom leered as Jack dragged himself into the playground, but they didn't come over. Nobody bothered him, not anymore. Jack sat against the edge of the jungle gym. Children climbed above him, one hand grasping their lunchboxes, ready to bolt toward school when the bell rang, desperate to play until the last possible second. Jack looked at his own lunchbox. Mom used pack treats, carrots for the Grunchies, apple for the Trollkin, maybe even a pebble or two for the gobs. Jack shivered as the cold air edged into his jacket. Hugging himself, he nuzzled his head against his knees. He felt alone. Numb. Jack didn't see them again until the first snow. School let out early and he trudged home. His feet wet. Cold pain gnawed at his toes, but Jack hardly noticed. He didn't notice anything. Not until he looked up. Muradin hung in the boughs of a snow-covered tree. His porcupine-like hair lay flat, now gray. The wind tore his clothing into long, tattered strips. And little boy Legbone, yellow and cracked, rested against his lips. He played, his shoulders hunched forward. His song quiet, almost unheard. It sounded like the wind alone, and whispered one word. Poison. Poison. Jack could feel the pill burning in his stomach. He knew the other kids could tell by the way they stared at him, by the way they followed behind him like the Grunchies used to. Maybe, soon, they'd disappear as well. Then there'd be no one. Jack hid the pill under his tongue and spat it behind the bush out front, or into the toilet before brushing his teeth. A week went by. His stomach felt better, but nothing changed. Late at night, when everything grew quiet, a cold fear crept in. Perhaps he had taken too much. Perhaps it was too late. He cried himself to sleep. Nights passed, and slowly, Jack began to feel. Pain burned through the numbness. Tears washed away the pill's poison. Soon, the Grunchies followed him to school. He even spotted woolly Trollkin faces as they peeked out from their drainage pipe homes. The gobs returned, too, but Jack just laughed as Mark and Tom punched him in the arm as they pinched his skin like the gobs pinched theirs. Of course, there were many kinds of poisons.
word poisons, even thought poisons. They worked more slowly than the pill, but they worked just the same. Jack knew that. He knew he had to wash them all away. Wind scraped outside, a low whistle, the banging of a loose screen door. It sent a chill through the room, all the way to the bed. Jack lay awake, listening for Little Boy Leg Bones' song. He pushed the blankets down, leaving his whole chest bare. His eyes closed, goosebumps rose on his skin. He could almost feel the flute's cool touch against his shin. "They've poisoned you," Meriden's soft words drifted across the room. Jack's hand reached down to grab the comforter, but he didn't pull it up. I know. Meriden crouched atop the footboard, his spider-like legs and black porcupine hair, his thin, long face. Little Boy Leg Bone glistened in his left hand. "I want you to get it out of me." Jack looked away, staring at his own small hands. "Get the poisons out."
"You do you?"
Muradin's thin finger brushed along the inside of Jack's leg.
"Do you know what that means?"
"Yes." Jack's voice came meek and quiet.
"Are you sure?"
Jack looked down at his leg and frowned. Muradin's hands froze. He tossed his head back and laughed.
"No, Jack. I already have a leg bone. Besides, I only collect from the dead."
"The boy?" Muradin nodded. "Brand." He wasn't the first, but he was strong. In the inn, he begged me to kill him. Of course, some part still lives in the flute's song. Do you want me to kill you too, Jack?
Jack bit his lip until he could taste blood. Slowly, he shook his head.
"I want to play with the Grunchies again."
"Don't worry."
Muradin moved closer, crawling over him.
"You will, and more, I promise. You'll live a long, long time. Just ask, and I'll take care of everything."
Jack lay still, Muradin's face hovering inches from his own. He inhaled Muradin's breath. It tasted of cinnamon and fire.
"Take the poisons out."
"Good boy." Muradin smiled his slight, sharp smile. Sitting up, he brought Little Boy Leg Bone to his lips and began to play. Gobs poured from the shadows. Jack just hoped he had enough tears.
Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 2.5 license. This means that you can scare as many friends as you like with it, just don't change it and don't sell it. Our music is by permission of Anders Manga at andersmanga.com. We are supported solely by the donations of the listener, so we can pay our authors. We have a PayPal button at pseudopod.org. Next time, we bring you a story by Yuji Foster about a woman who charges her brother to do a simple task. Until then, remember that when you have to decide which is scarier, Daddy or the monster, take all things into consideration, including laundry.